All right. Well, good morning. Hope everybody is good. How was taco salad today? Yeah, man. Jesus and taco salad. Doesn't get much better than that. All right. Well, Jesse's not with us this morning, and you don't want me singing, so I'm just going to start in a word this morning. All right. So last time we were in John, we saw the Good Shepherd riding into the city, the triumphal entry. Oh, he said that was kind of weird that I think it was the week after Christmas, and then we were from the manger to the triumphal entry, but that's where we were in John. But we saw the Good Shepherd riding in. The words just kept coming back to mind to me of willingly laying down his life for the sheep. But I want to stretch your minds this morning just a little bit before we get into today's passage in John. This is something I thought about. Charlie, I know you tuned in and listening here. This is something I thought about this week. When we think about Jesus laying his life down for the sheep, anybody with me and hear that verse? When Jesus lays down his life for the sheep, sometimes that can be just very non-personal, right? We can just think about the sheep, and then honestly, if we do that, we think of ourselves in light of being a sheep. We say, well, I'm the black sheep of this little family, right? Or I'm the sheep that's gone too far. I'm the sheep that's done too much, and really that doesn't apply to me. Like, I get that he laid down his life for you. You're standing there with the Bible open. Or I get that he laid down his life for so-and-so because they're a pretty decent guy, decent lady, but not me. I'm the black sheep of the family. You don't know what I've done. So I just want to remind you that I believe as Jesus rode in willingly to lay down his life for the sheep, I want to remind you of what the Good Shepherd said. While he speaks of things of laying down his life for the sheep, I want you to know the kind of shepherd's heart that he has. Remember this verse, it was found in Luke. What man of you has 100 sheep, loses one, does not leave the 99 in the open country. By the way, I love that that's there, in the open country, in the rough, in the wild, in the dangerous places, in the open country, and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. I love the word until, right? He will keep looking. He will keep searching. Jesse sings it all the time. He won't stop coming after you, right, until he finds the lost sheep. And then when he finds it, he doesn't beat it. He doesn't, like, chase it back. He doesn't yell at it. All of these things, it says that he puts it on his shoulders rejoicing and brings it back into the fold. So for my black sheep out there this morning, or at least ones that feel it, my lost sheep out here, my sheep that think they have gone too far, he will leave the 100, leave the 99 to go after the one of the 100. And so he brings it back. He is rejoicing. So make no bones about it. I believe the last time that we were in John, when he rides into the city, he is doing so willingly, knowing he is about to lay down his very life for you and for me. That's the kind of good shepherd we have, the one who willingly came to lay down his life. I want you to have that in mind, because that's what we're coming out of, this triumphal entry where Jesus knows he is riding into the city. We'll pick up from there in John chapter 12. I know it's cold this morning. I'll try to be as quick as I can. My brain's a mess up here this morning. It's cold. Here we go. It says, now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So those came to Philip who were from Bethsaida in Galilee and asked him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew, hello, how y'all doing out there? Went and told Andrew, most places, man, I want to tell y'all something funny. Sometimes I go in, you know, the traditional church setting, and they say, man, I hope that that little child down there wasn't a distraction to you. It's, man, I get car horns and sometimes other things that happen in the middle. We're good. All right? Everybody with me? Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. Can I tell y'all, in a world of chaos in which we live, in case y'all haven't noticed, our world's kind of a mess right now, at least this country. I just want to tell you, a great place to start would be to arm yourself with a basin and a towel. Just serve people. Love God, love others, and that takes care of a multitude of sins and things. Just love people one at a time. Everybody you come in contact with. You can't do it for all, right? You and I don't have the platform to stand in the nation's capital and share this message to everybody that would tune in. But let me tell you what you can do. You can love one person at a time. Do for one what you wish you could do for everybody. Just love people. Serve. Wash them feet, man. If everybody did that and looked out for others' interest over their own, man, it's going to take care of a lot of stuff that's going on in our world. All right? That was bonus. All right, so now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that stood there heard this, and as it said that, it thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. And Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world, and now the ruler of this world will be cast out. And I, when I'm lifted up to the earth, will draw people to myself. He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. Again, he knew what was coming. Willingly rode into the city to purchase your heart and your freedom, should you choose to accept it. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? So Jesus said to them, the light is among you for a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. And while you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. When Jesus had said these things, he departed and hid himself from them. Though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. So that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Lord, who has believed what he heard from us, and to whom the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore, they could not believe, for again, Isaiah said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. Isaiah said these things because he saw his glory and spoke of him. Nevertheless, even the authorities believed in him, but for fear of the Pharisees, they did not confess it, so that they would not be put out of the synagogue, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. I've come into this world as light, so whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me does not receive my words, has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on that last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me as himself has given me a commandment what to say, what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say is what the Father has told me. Father, we pray this morning that you speak to hearts this morning wherever we're at. This morning, if we walk into this place and we don't have a relationship with you, that today would be the day that begins. If we've been walking in relationship with you for 50 plus years, we pray that we draw closer to you today. Father, we know that's your heart for us. Anyone who would ride into the city willingly, knowing that he was about to lay down his life to purchase the freedom of our hearts, purchase us as sons and daughters. Father, you want that today. That is your desire, that we would choose you over ourselves, that we would choose your glory and not the glory of man, as this passage says. So, Father, we pray that you speak to hearts wherever we're at this morning. Should we be lost, should we be saved, that you would just speak to us and bring us in to deeper relationship with you. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so a lot this morning as far as the passage goes, and honestly, we could spend just weeks and weeks and weeks on just what we read here, and I'm going to try to do it in one day and try to do it quickly this morning. One, I want to point out, just starting at this, I love the passages. There's two occasions that we get, this one alone in John, where the Father speaks to Jesus. You remember the whole time when Jesus goes down and he is baptized in the Jordan, the Father speaks from heaven. We don't see the word Trinity, but we see the Trinity represented, right? The Father, the Son, the Spirit. The Son is obviously present in being baptized. The Father speaks. The Holy Spirit descends like a dove. We don't understand all that means, but there was something visibly that could be seen. There was something shaken in the crowd that day, and then something heard, a loud voice from heaven. I'm just here to tell you, for me, it doesn't get any better than Morgan Freeman's voice. I would love to hear him narrate anything, but I'm telling you, it doesn't compare to the Father's voice, right? I'm telling you, when it says it thundered, it was a booming voice. And in that baptism, he says, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased." The same happens here, this validation of what the Son is doing. You understand what's going on here? Right, that Jesus has just willingly rode into the city, knowing that it was going to land him on a thief's cross that didn't belong to him, but he chose from the foundation of the world, beginning before the beginning of the foundation of the world. It was always the plan. He rode in to purchase your freedom, and the Father is saying, "I have glorified this. I have put my stamp of approval on this." Hear me this morning. Everybody look this way. If you know him this morning. If you don't, then there's another topic, right? Come to know him. Come to saving faith in Jesus. But if you know him, I'm telling you this, that in Jesus' name, by what he willingly rode in to do, you are his son or daughter that he is well pleased. If Jesus himself, God in the flesh, needed the Father's validation, then how much more so do you and I? I want you to hear that this morning. It's not about your actions. It's about what Jesus has already done for you. The beautiful words, "It is finished," has been spoken over your soul if you believe in Jesus, right? So the Father believes in you. The validation is there. "This is my son or daughter in whom I am well pleased." But there's choice. You have a choice this morning. You have a choice every day that you wake up. Will you answer for your own sin? Will you be on your own accord? Or will you let Jesus be the answer for that? I pray that you allow Jesus, because the other answer has you eternally separated from him. You will answer one day. Bottom line, every man, woman, boy, or girl in this parking lot, when they draw their last breath, will stand before a holy God. I'm so glad when I do, I don't answer on my own accord, because I'm telling you, my righteousness are like filthy rags. That's what the word says. But praise God, when I stand there, washed in the blood of the Lamb, by what he willingly rode in to do, "This is my son in whom I am well pleased." I pray that when you get to that day, you do not answer on your own accord, but right now you bow the knee, that you say that same thing, that Jesus is the name above all names. How does this happen? He says it, tells them, "The Son of Man must be lifted up." It's going back to the passage where he said, you remember back in the Old Testament when the snakes and all of this stuff, and Moses put this bronze serpent and he put it on a pole. This is what God told him to do. Charlie, I'm thinking back to The Chosen the other night, right? He puts the bronze snake on the pole and he said, "Everybody that looks to this will be saved. Those that don't, won't be." He's saying the same thing here, that I am that, right? This was just foreshadowing, that if you look to me, you will be saved. If you don't, then you won't. The choice is clear. Will you go on your own accord, or will you look to the Son of Man that is lifted up? By the way, he's telling them right then what's going to happen. I'm going to be lifted up on a cross. You will look to me or not. The choice is yours. I'm telling you, man. I'm begging you, if there's any way that the Spirit is speaking to your heart, look to the Son of Man and don't look on your own. Don't look to man. Don't look to the government. Can I get an amen on that, right? It will leave you disappointed. It will leave you hungering. It will leave you feeling like, man, there is nothing I can do. I'm just going back. I want to tell you, God just gave me a visual or something that was said to me a long time ago. I was a youth pastor in a traditional church, and I remember this child that I could even name a name. I won't do that this morning, but I can remember them just as a little child saying that they repented and that they believed in Jesus. And with a child, you always wonder, do they really understand? They wanted to be baptized. Do they really get it? Listen to the words that she told me. All I know is I had a hole in my heart that's not there anymore. Nothing else could fill it, but Jesus did. Amen? You can fit it with anything you want, square peg in a round hole. It won't work. You must look to the Son of Man that has been lifted up to save you. Jesus continues in verse 36, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. Can I tell you what a wonderful place in a dark world? Listen to me. Our world is a dark place, right? There is a ruler here that is the king of darkness. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we left this parking lot as sons and daughters of light, that we believe in the light, that we left this place and shared love and grace and mercy and compassion and truth and all of these wonderful things, that we brought the light into a dark world. Imagine this, Jesus, water to wine, feeding the 5,000, raising a man from the dead by calling his name and saying, come on out. That's the redneck version, right? Come on out of there. Can you imagine in all of these things, man, the world should have went after Jesus, and many did, but also here it said that many saw the signs, saw the wonders, saw what was going on, and yet they choose to walk away and not believe. Unfortunately, it's the same here today. Many of you have asked, why do y'all do this? Right? Why do you come on a parking lot on a day that is quite possibly 17 degrees? My hands are frozen solid right now, okay? Why? It is only, listen, taco salad is great. Supplies are great. The fellowship is great. There is one word why we come out here, Jesus. That is why, to let you know that you must reckon with the idea that you will either answer for your sins on your own or by the name of Jesus. I pray, my friend, you believe in the light, that you choose to do like Jesus says, but it says that many will walk away and not believe. Even gets into the part where it says he blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. And this is a topic of much debate. And I'll give you my thoughts on it. I think there are seasonal times when Jesus does this. In fact, I think there are times that if someone, just a repetitive denial, if you're hearing my voice this morning, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, and you respond with this, it's not for me. I believe there is a day where he says, that's it. I will harden your hearts. I will blind your eyes. That's it. You're done. But I'm telling you this morning that I believe you have a choice. I believe there is opportunity. You have been called. There's an opportunity to believe. People will go back even to Pharaoh and they say, well, God said he hardened his heart, but you know what else he did? He sent a man 10 plus times that said, Pharaoh, let my people go. Let my people. There was a choice. He chose his own way. Which way will you choose today? Will you continue on in a hardened heart way? Will you continue on in a way? I'm just telling you, the love and character of the Father is this. Should you listen to the Holy Spirit and he is drawing you right now, it is not too late. I can't tell you when that day will be, though. I can't tell you if he shuts it off for your heart if you continue in your own way. I can't tell you when that day will be. But I'm telling you now, if you hear the Holy Spirit's call, it's not too late. The call of grace, the call of mercy is there. Would you look on him and be saved? Or will you continue in your own way? Verse 42 and 43, he gets to a place where he says this about the religious leaders. Imagine this. It says that many of them believed. Many of the authorities believed in him. But for fear of the Pharisees, fear of the religious, they did not confess it. They were secret disciples. And listen why. It says, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. You can seek after all this world has to offer. You can hear the hush on the crowd this morning because that one speaks to our heart. Man, we care so much about what people think of us. And I want to tell you, at the end of the day, it really doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter if anybody knows my name. The King of Kings knows my name, and I'm his son, man. That's good enough for me. So I'm here to tell you, you can chase after all this world and you can fill it with a whole list of, well, but. Because we do that. Man, if I could just get another job, if I could just, you know, be in that relationship, if she would notice me, if he would notice me, if I could just make an advance in my job, if I could just get off the streets, if I could just, and you could fill that list with a lot of things. A lot of it comes down, man, you're chasing the glory of man. Will you chase the glory of the Lord? My goodness, if our leaders, if people who are called to be servants wouldn't just hit us at a place like that where they chase the glory of God versus the glory of man, what the world would be? If we armed ourselves here at this place with a basin and a towel, and by the way, that meant that no matter who they are, no matter how they've wronged you, no matter what they look like, no matter what background, no matter what their beliefs, but that you just served them, you just loved them. What better place this world would be? Can I tell you that this week? That if you choose to be a son or daughter of light in Jesus' name, and you arm yourself with a basin and towel, even picture that in your mind. You know where Jesus washed feet, right? We're going to get into that next week, the actual passage where that's it. But if you actually picture that in your mind, I'm going to wash this person's feet right now. Now, here's a news flash. Don't actually do it, okay? If you go to work this week and you take a basin and towel and your boss is really a jerk to you and you go and you take his shoes off, it's probably going to be a bad situation, all right? Just weird, right? It's not a custom today. But in your mind, you hear me? In your mind this week, that person that you can't stand, I promise you, it is hard to hate somebody that you're actively loving and praying for. Let that sink in. Some of us hate some people this morning. Instead of hating, what if you honestly, actively took that person's name and every day when their name came off your lips, instead of a cuss word, instead of a, boy, I hope they get what's coming, it started with, Lord Jesus, will you bless them? What about upping it to this? Will you use me to bless them? Can I wash feet today? Can I serve them? Can I love them? Let me tell you, if we do that, if we put others' interest above our own, if we honestly, no matter who the person is, if we encountered it that way, let me see a show of hands, would our world be a better place? Let it start with us. Let it start with us. What a wonderful story it would be. Look around. Starting with me, this is a ragtag group of people. But what if a revival sparked in our city, in our county, in our state, in our nation, in our world, and it could be traced back? I'm going to tell you why. It was some sons and daughters of life that went and armed themselves with a basin and a towel. Washing feet, serving people, loving, no matter who God puts in front of our path. In case you hadn't heard it in a while, everybody has a seat at the table at this place. If you can't show them the love, bring them here, and we'll try to do our best when they get here, all right? So how you walking? I'm not talking about with a limp. I'm not talking about, you know, any of that. How you walking? Are you walking in the light or are you walking in darkness? I'm going to tell you this. It really does not depend. You got to hear this point. It does not depend on your actions. I'm not talking about what you do. I'm asking, how are you walking? Are you looking to him or are you looking to you? It's all who you look upon. He said, the Son of Man must be lifted up. If you look upon me, then you'll be sons of light. If not, then you'll, guess what, be sons of darkness. How you walking? That's your choice, man. That's your choice. You have a choice. Will you look upon yourself? Yourself's going to let you down. Amen. We've been there. Right? I mean, I honestly get a chance sometime back in the world before COVID. I used to get to go in prisons, and we would stand there in prison and say, listen, if you could just make better choices, you wouldn't be here. It's not about choices. It's about a change. It's about Jesus changing your heart, bringing dead people to life. That's what he does. A spirit, a heart that was dead, looking upon him and saying, I believe in him bringing us to light. You're going to look upon yourself. You're going to look upon others. You're going to look upon your government. I'm going to tell you, ain't no help coming. It's about Jesus. Lone Ranger's not riding in to save the day. He's already done it. He rode in willingly to lay down his life that you would believe and could be a son or daughter. Jesus changes everything. And on everything, Jesus hinges. That's it. What have you done with the Son of Man? Will you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, I know that's a lot this morning. It's a lot of a passage. It's a lot of thoughts. But here's what I pray. I pray that the words that Jesus changes everything and on everything Jesus hinges just sticks to our soul this morning, that we will look to Him in every single thing we do, everything, every single thing that we are, that it is about Jesus. And from there, we cannot help but be changed by your Holy Spirit, brought from death to life, and arm ourselves with a basin and towel. I pray that you bring people to mind this week that maybe even some of us could use the word, man, I hate that guy. I hate that lady. They did this to me. They did that to me. Man, some of them, listen, even as we pray this, Father, I pray that you speak this to heart. Some of the people we need to forgive are long, long time ago, 6 feet underground. We need to let it go. We need to offer forgiveness even to people who can't say they're sorry. That we let the hate go, we pick up love, we pick up a basin and towel, and that we wash feet to whoever we encounter this week. In fact, I'm going to pray it in this way. Jesus, will you put people in our path this week that need to be served, that need to be loved, and that we encounter with love, with no strings attached, no idea of who they voted for, how they act, how they live, who they're sleeping with, any of those things, or how they just generally view life, their beliefs, if they don't even believe in God. None of that matters. A human being in front of us that needs to be loved and encountered with the grace and mercy of Jesus, that we wash feet and we love people and we point them to what you said in this passage. The Son of Man was lifted up, that we point people to look to you, not to us, not to their government, not to people around them or themselves or just make a better them. It's about you, Jesus. Jesus changes everything, and on everything, Jesus, it hinges on you. Jesus, we love you. We need you. This world needs you. May we be bearers of light as we leave this place. We love you and thank you. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Here's a reminder of what forgiveness.